Thank you, Lord Willetts, for the kind introduction. It's an honour to be invited here to speak. What I would like to speak about tonight is the classic wafer fab perspective on the National Semiconductor Strategy that's just recently been announced. And what I'm particularly wanting to look at is the threads to do with infrastructure, scale-up and investment. But before I do that, what I'd like to do is just give a brief introduction to classic wafer fab, just to establish the fact that we are actually a serious player in the semiconductor, compound semiconductor industry, and we do know a little bit about this sphere. Just a few key themes here I'll read out. So we are actually an open foundry, pure play fabricating silicon carbide. And we've invested in state-of-the-art silicon carbide tools and processing. And our business is all about fast prototyping, really to accelerate R&D and then help facilitate initiatives such as Net Zero and More Than Moore. So we're actually engaged in some of those programmes right now with either APC or Driving Electric Revolution. And it's really backed up by reliability proven process design kits that we have as an open foundry. And it's been very successful. So over the last year, we've seen 500% revenue growth. We've had more than doubled a number of customer accounts who have active with us. We've had to move rather more quickly than we anticipated from a full five-day operation to full 24/7 working. That's driven an increase in headcount, which is very nice indeed for the local area, being a relatively deprived area. Used to be a coal mining area, so we're digging coal out of the ground, or carbon, along with bits of silicon as well. So it's back, kind of back to where we were before, working with silicon and carbon. So just about the thoughts on initial reactions that we actually, probably most of us saw in the press for this announcement as to the National Semiconductor Strategy. I don't know if I actually saw anything particularly positive, and they're all saying $1 billion isn't enough. I've called this from BBC News, it was described as insignificant. The government press release did say it was to improve access to infrastructure, promote research and development, and facilitate greater international cooperation with up to $200 million over the years 23 to 25. And we've all, we all know how much it will take to actually equip a full TSMC-style wafer fab, $18 billion, which $1 billion doesn't really look at. But I think we need to have a look at what the government strategy really is about, and it's boosting the UK's strengths and skills in design, R&D and compound semiconductors. So it's not all about actually creating other TSMC fabs here. So our view at Classic is if that building is used wisely, it can make a significant difference, as compound semiconductor fabs don't really need to have that leading edge capability. For example, in Classic, we're actually using technology from several generations ago, and that's actually leading edge for silicon carbide, but it's not nearly so expensive. Actually that $1 billion does actually make a significant difference. And it doesn't mean setting up a cohort of capital-intensive, new or refurbished wafer fabs using all of that money and more. So we believe that wisely targeting investment using existing infrastructure for investment would be a prudent move. And we believe that would build on the UK's strengths of existing wafer fab capabilities. So Andy's mentioned the actual wafer fabs we have in the UK, and quite a number of them are actually poised to be able to actually contribute to this. And also, it's important anything that's actually set up by way of infrastructure doesn't actually compete with those, because that could be rather negative. Also, by actually using existing infrastructure, it could actually safeguard and potentially create jobs. Also, it's very important because it would mean we can actually hit the ground running. Just to draw an experience with Classic, we started up in 2017. It took us actually 5 years to finally have our MOSFET product actually qualified. We had to start up the fab. We actually had to acquire the ground, actually do the building, uh, buy, buy the tools, qualify the tools, then set up a dial process, then set up a MOSFET process. That took the best part of 5 years. So that's a relatively long time. All the time of SMEs actually waiting to actually use the infrastructure, and it's not quite ready. So actually building on infrastructure, whether it's whichever wafer fab or compound semiconductor technology is, it actually means you can actually get a good fast start if existing infrastructure is used. And also it reduces risk because there's always things go wrong. You forecast there'll be 50 problems and there's more like 500 problems or challenges as you actually bring up a new facility. Whereas we and other farms have actually started up, have gone through those, and that level of risk has really been vastly reduced. So just to quote one example of Classic, and I acknowledge there's many other fabs here, and I'm not so well informed about them, so I apologise for mentioning Classic because it's only one that I can actually talk with having information. So as I mentioned, we started in 2017, spent 50 million, which actually isn't a lot in terms of the context of that 1 billion. We're cash self-sufficient now, technology is proven, we've got a healthy and growing customer base with demand for more. So really we actually tick a lot of those four boxes there, those four bullet points I mentioned earlier on. But the biggest challenge now is actually expanding that. We've been so successful, customers are demanding more, and expanding is something we're actually needing funding for. So our view is a small part of that 1 billion would go a significant way to help us actually scale up as part of open access infrastructure that's been mentioned. Now, what I would like to acknowledge is that that story was a bit classic, but it's actually replicated over all the other compound semiconductor fabs or fabs of other types in the UK. It will go into multiple other sectors. Another belief is that the UK scaling and open access wafer fab challenges can only be addressed on the kill two birds with one stone principle, and that is fully in keeping with the principles of the strategy, which is to says may include an expansion of UK's compound open foundry ecosystem. So that, I think so we're actually pleased to see that there, because I think that makes a lot of sense. We think it could be cost effective and achievable within that £1 billion budget that actually looked a bit small to begin with. And we'd also like to acknowledge that scaling up, which I've referred to, is not a challenge. It's unique to Classic, I'm sure. I know from Ray Hyman, from what Ray's told me, that in many interactions with other leaders in the UK semiconductor industry, this is a common theme. It's a recurring theme that comes up time and time again. It seems to be that the funding climate here is somewhat weighted against technology investments, and as Andy Sellers has mentioned, its technology funding is more available internationally. But what we think is that wisely targeted government investment in existing semiconductor infrastructure would be most welcome, and that the £1 billion will actually go a lot further than what the initial press comments would actually have us all to believe. But crossing the investment to scale up chasm is a bit still a bit of a challenge. Now, government aspirations for the semiconductor industry are laudable, and they've got a good way. So we have existing R&D schemes such as ESPRC, which I suspect most of us are familiar with. DER, or Driving the Electric Revolution, and APC, Advanced Propulsion Centre, are a couple of other mid and late level TRL programs are actually applicable to semiconductors, so they're actually good schemes and actually taking things actually to initial production, but then the actual step to go further than that into actual scaling up is somewhere that is a bit more challenged. Our view is that all of the EPSRC, DER, APC initiatives is all very welcome, but UK seems to have a bit of a challenge in actually turning all that great work of science and technology and R&D into sustained manufacturing jobs, which remain within the UK, because there's too much of them actually tend to go offshore, and that still needs to be tackled. Now, Semiconductor strategy press release did give a glimmer of hope. The government was going to announce plans by the autumn on support for investment in the UK semiconductor manufacturing scale-up. And I noticed the Minister in his talk mentioned that, support for scale-up as well. So that will all be very welcome indeed. So, however, we do feel there's a bit of lack of clarity on how to enable scale-up. I've copied some words from the new semiconductor strategy and just picked out some of the some key themes. The government is going to support, particularly the Department for Business and Trade, support various initiatives. It's expanded some others. It's got a dedicated directorate. They're focusing on a digital trade network. They're also going to do some promotion at the London Tech Week. But from the classic perspective, this hasn't been well communicated to industry, at least none of that above was actually known to ourselves. And I suspect we're not alone, but it'll be interesting to hear what others say. At the moment, we see the road ahead is a bit foggy. So we're not actually quite clear as to how all that's going to make a difference. I hope it becomes clear and the fog lifts. But indeed, I think we could do with a bit of help as to understanding just how the road ahead looks on that. So, just to summarise, it's been great to see the £1 billion National Semiconductor Strategy announcement, and our belief is, if it's implemented well, it could go further than what the media predicts. It could end up with a win-win solution for the government's semiconductor strategy, our existing semiconductor industry and the government's infrastructure strategy. We like the existing R&D schemes, but we need to actually now look at the problem beyond that, which is scale-up. That is still a challenge, and we will await with interest the government autumn statement on that. Thank you very much.